From beautiful snow-covered northern Michigan, this is the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church broadcast.
Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome once again to the weekly broadcast of the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church. We're on 1972 Saunders Road, just outside the village of Kalkaska, in the lower peninsula of Michigan in the U.S. of A. In helping us with our day-to-day struggles, we turn to the authority of God's Word as we grow in grace. The Bible was our rudder and compass for navigating through a difficult world. We pray that today's message from the Word of God might do a work in your heart. Please let us know if you've been blessed by the program. You can contact us by email at william58kuiper@yahoo.com. This weekly broadcast originates from the Sunday morning church services here at Evergreen and features a special musical number along with a sermon from Pastor Bill Kuiper. On occasion, we'd like to include a variety of guest speakers and visiting missionaries to the program. After the special musical number for today, we will hear from visiting pastor from the state of Texas, Carl Chitwood.
Have you failed in life's battle to accomplish your plans? Is your heart heavy laden? Do you fear the Lord's command? Do you feel that no one loves you and there's no use to try? Just bring your cares to Jesus, your soul is satisfied.
How many of you husbands hugged your wives and told her you loved her this morning and you kissed her? Could you raise your hands? Oh, some are going to do it right now. Oh, I'm telling you. Don't forget to do that and make your day go much, much better. And that will. How many of you are married today? How many of you are married? God bless you. 56 years ago, last Saturday, July the 2nd, we said, I do. I don't know if I said I will or I do, but I'm still doing it. And that, but thank God for 56 years and more than I ever deserved in that. So I'm thankful that we could still be together. And as I say to church once in a while, I'm thankful to know who I am and where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. In Matthew chapter 23, it's a wonderful chapter in how to humble yourself with God's help. I believe that being humble is sort of a byproduct of doing some things that would bring us to that place. When we're in that attitude of humbleness is when God can use us the most. Verse number 1, the Lord said, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." God bless you for standing for the Word of God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, I'm thankful today to know that I'm saved. I'm thankful for the salvation that you provided. Lord, it's available to everybody that'll have it. The Bible says in Titus, says salvation hath appeared to all men. So no one will have any excuse at the great white throne judgment why they didn't get saved. That if there are people here and they absolutely do not know 100% sure that they'd go to heaven if they died today, and they very well could die. And so, Father, I'd pray this morning that, Lord, that you'd get a hold of their heart and they'd allow it and they'd come forward and want to be saved and accept Jesus as their Savior this morning and settle forever and ever where they're going to spend eternity. So, Father, help each one be helped this morning, encouraged in this area and of humbleness, Father. And Lord, it's our old flesh, Lord, so much wants to operate and be over our spirit. And Father, it's our spirit that is being in control of us through the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I love you. Love these people. Love the pastor of this church and this dear family. And dear Lord, thank you for these wonderful people here this morning. May they all be helped. In Christ's name we pray, and I love you so much, Jesus. Amen. Well, the Bible says in verse number 12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." A lot of people, and including a lot of Christians, and certainly in my lifetime, I've tried to exalt myself. That word exalt means to lift yourself up above others, to believe that you might be just a step above someone else. Well, the Bible, the Word of God, says we all came out of the same dirt. We Adam came out of the dirt of the ground, and even though Eve came out of the rib of Adam, in that we all came from the same dirt in that soul. But we have a responsibility after we get saved, to, as we learn what God wants us to do, to not be trying to lift ourselves up above others. Now, the Bible says if you try to do that, God's going to find a way to bring you down, and he always has found a way to bring me back down to earth when I thought I was a little bit better than what I should be. But then, thank God, it says, "And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You know, whatever notoriety we might have in this world today, if the Lord wants us to be made known, he'll make us known. We're not to start after it in that. But if he does that, then he'll certainly lift us up in that. This word humble and humility, as I've tried to look in the Bible down through the years, that word humble means to be modest. In other words, not to try and bring undue attention to yourself. To be a humble person, you'd have to be a submissive person. And People that are submissive are those that are willingly yielding up their rights to the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you got saved in that, you do not belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. So that takes a spirit of meekness in order to do that. Humble means not arrogant, not self-dependent. You know, the longer that I live, the more I know and realize how much I've needed the Lord Jesus Christ all of my life. And at 76 years of age, I really need Him now more than I ever need Him before. Don't get self-dependent. Depend upon the Lord in that. You need Him as much as I do. But humility is an adjective of the word humble, and it means freedom from pride. You know what pride is? Old stinking pride. It never gives God the credit, never gives anybody else the credit for who you and I are. Listen, you and I are a sum total of all the people God has used in our lives to get us to the place where we are today. Oh, you and I ought to be so thankful for people God has used. Freedom from pride, giving God and others the credit is what it needs to be. Now, the Word of God teaches us that God's way up in this life is to go down first. James chapter 4 and verse number 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." In order to be lifted up, we got to go down first in order to the Lord to be able to lift us up. And one of the most precious ways is that of prayer, and even in the spiritual living of this life. So I want to give you some things this morning as quickly as I can, and that about this thing of humbleness. As I said, it happens when we do some other things. And that there's just no other way you can say, "Well, Lord, I think I'm going to be humble today, so I'm humble." It just doesn't happen that way. It's some things that you and I must do every day in order to reach that state where God can use us more. If you don't mind, take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 13 and verse number 7. It says, "Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Bible's telling you and I in Romans chapter 13 how to treat people in government and so forth and that. But my point about this thing is to reach the place where God wants us to be and to stay in a state of humbleness is pass on your praise or thankfulness to God and to others. It says, "Render therefore to all their dues." In other words, folks, there's a lot of things done for us in this country that are still right, and you and I need to be thankful for them and that. But we need to pass on the praise or the thankfulness to God and to others. In other words, when you get praise, you need to pass it on first to the Lord Jesus Christ and then pass it on to somebody else in that. I am what I am today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am what I am today because of a godly mother. She passed away in 2010 at 89 years of age in that. But I thank God for her and for all that she went through. She never had it easy in this life. But she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said many times before, she got saved two nights before I did in October 1948 on a Wednesday night. And on Friday night, I got saved. And I knew that salvation was something because it changed my mama completely. She drank and she smoked and she cussed. But from that night that she got saved, she never did those things anymore. And oh, listen, have you ever had your mouth ever washed out with soap before? Anybody had that happen to you? Oh, she washed my mouth out with soap two times. I decided it wasn't worth saying bad words because soap just didn't taste good at all. And then it caused me to do some other things. That was awful. Oh, listen, I thank God for a dear mother that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't tell us that we ever had to go to church. She just said, "We're going to church." And back in those days, I had two pairs of shoes, one for school and one for church. And we got everything ready on a Saturday night. I don't know if any of you went through something like that, but we knew on Sunday we were going to church. There just wasn't any ifs, ands, and buts about it. She made up her mind for us. Then I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for a dear wife. Oh, God put her in my life at 15 years of age. And my dear mother, after she was saved several years, and I was 13 years old, she said, "Carl, you start praying for the right kind of a wife." Now, my mother had a reason for saying that. Bless her heart, she was married three different times. And just a hard life for her. She just never had it easy. And I said, "Well, Mama, okay, I don't understand that." I said, "If I had a wife, I wouldn't know what to do with her in that." But 15 years of age, God put it in my heart to go live with my dad that divorced my mother, and I was 3 years old. But I met my wife to be then. at 15 years of age. And I know I've told you before, but I love saying it again. It took me 5 years to convince her she loved me and needed to marry me. And she finally did, you know, at 20 years of age. But I am what I am today because of my wife. I thank God for the godly training that she had. She was saved and when we met. And many things we never had to decide what was right and wrong. She knew what was right and wrong, and I knew what was right and wrong. And the only problem that we had, we both tried to be the boss for the first year. I tried to boss her, and she tried to boss me. And boy, when that happens, it doesn't go very good. I had to find out that I had the lead, that I wasn't supposed to be in the bossing business. And some of you just got married back there. You know, don't try to be the boss. But dear husband, you lead, and you lead right, and your wife will follow you. I thank God that my wife has followed me all of these years. She didn't know that she was going to get a preacher and pastor to be a husband until about 12 years down the line. But when I told her, she just said, okay, where are we going, when are we going? And whenever I was able to look her in the eye and say, we're going to go here, okay. We moved 6 times in 7 years there before we got to the place where we're at. And I said, Lord, if it'd be all right with you, my next move, I want to go straight up in that. I've lived in that house for some 30-some years now, and I don't want to move. I just want to move to that address in heaven, where into that mansion. So I said all that to say this. I'm nothing by myself. I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you got to take one of us before the rapture happens, take me. Because I'm a chicken. I don't want to be by myself. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to do a lot of other things. I'm not wanting to learn how on this side of heaven. But, oh, listen, thank God for who he is and for my dear mother and for my dear wife. And then I thank the Lord for 8 different pastors I had in my life. Oh, listen, they've had a part in God preparing me. I never knew God was going to call me to preach. He was 30 years old when he called me, and I couldn't believe it. And I had my life set, and it took me 2 years, to 32 years of age, to finally say on a Wednesday night, Bill Rice III was preaching from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I surrendered to the Lord in that pew, and I said, all right, Lord, whatever you want for the rest of my life, you can have it. You can send me anywhere you want me to send. You want to send me. Thank God he sent me to El Paso, Texas. But, oh, listen, I thank God for those pastors. I looked at each one and let God give me a little bit of that one, and God give me a little bit of that one, and a little bit of that one, and oh, God just blessed me with 8 good pastors in my lifetime, and I thank God for them. So, humbleness, being willing to pass on the praise, accept the praise, and be gracious. Somebody thanks you for something, but pass it on to the Lord and pass it on to others, because you know if you don't, you get the big head, and brother Bill have to open both doors for you to get out of the auditorium. Oh, listen, pass on that praise and thankfulness to the Lord. And then number 2, how to stay humble. Once you, if you can get there, and you can, learn to serve others instead of trying to impress others with who you are or what you have done. In Psalms chapter 95 and verse number 6, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The Bible calls us sheep. I've been told, I haven't had much to do with sheep, that they're the dumbest animal that God ever made. If one starts jumping over a cliff, 20 behind them, they'll all 20 jump over the cliff. Now that's what I've been told. I've never seen that or witnessed that. But the Bible likens us to sheep. So if we're going to learn how to live for others and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. There's one true and living God, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I hope you don't mind bowing down. And the Bible says to bow down, that means that shows our respect. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. In other words, you need to realize where you came from. You and I came from the hand of God, and he put us down here since man became a sinner to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm nothing if I don't pray. I'm nothing if I don't get in the Word of God. I'm nothing if I don't get out there and try to win people to Christ yet. So how to stay humble? Serve others instead of trying to impress others with who you are or what you have done. In order to keep that humbleness, you need to impress others to who Jesus Christ is. Oh, if you'll just keep telling people who Jesus is, it'll keep you serving other people. It'll help you do things that you think that you really couldn't do. Oh, back in January when I had this knee replaced, it wasn't like the other one. It gave me a lot of problems and so forth. And I was really humbled by the fact that I had my son there and my wife was there. I couldn't even put on my own sock and my own shoes and had to wear one of them tight things, and I couldn't do it. And I couldn't get cleaned up by myself, and my son had to help me, and all was embarrassing in that. But I said, Lord, thank you that they're willing enough to help me. And then my son left, and my wife, bless her heart, she has arthritis in her hands, and she's having a hard time putting that stocking on and other things. But she just looked at me and say, I love you. Oh, I'm so glad. She's willing to serve and do what needed to be done and so forth. But you know, Jesus, he washed the feet of other people. He washed the feet of other people. Someone that made everybody's in the world and made the dirt that was on the ground. He was willing to wash the feet of other people. You know, Jesus is the Lord of glory, but he did not seek any glory really on this earth. He just kept serving other people. If you and I would keep serving other people, we'd have less problems than trying to show somebody who I am, what I can do. But just keep serving. So number three, how to keep humility, how to get there even. Confess and ask for forgiveness of your sins. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In 1 John 9, 10, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Oh, listen, you'll never stay humble. You'll never stay in a place if you think you can get away with sin, child of God. It needs to be confessed immediately. Don't wait till it's time to go to bed. The Bible says you have until you go to bed tonight if you got mad at somebody, but you ought to do it just before, just do it then, whenever it happens. Confess and ask forgiveness of our sins. You know, when you ask God's forgiveness of sin, I hope it isn't like this. Dear Lord, now I know I did wrong. Just forgive me of all my sins. I'll do better. Amen. Some people pray like that. When you sin against God, you need to name that sin. Because when you name that sin, then the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside will bring that sin to mind and it'll begin to hurt. Sin ought to hurt us. It ought to grieve us. You know why? Because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God when we sin. Oh, listen. To stay in that state of humbleness, confess it, name it, and ask God's forgiveness of it. And then make plans to not return to it. Had a man in our church when I was assistant pastor in Illinois for 2 years. And they had not been living for the Lord. Didn't know him. They had had a little 5 or 6 year old son run out in front of a car, in front of their house, and of course killed that little son. They'd been serving the Lord. I don't know where they were living then. But they blamed God that happened. They'd been out of church for a long time. They came into church that Sunday morning and I looked at them and I thought if anybody ever needed help, Bob and Joanne Mater needed some help. And so during the invitation, I saw them, tears coming, and I saw his hands on the pew, and I went up to him and I said, sir, I've never met you before, but something's wrong. Would you let me help you? Would you let me help you? And we went to the altar and told him quickly what it done. Said we was in a VFW last night. Said we was both there drinking beer. And I guess the wife looked at her husband and said, is this what we're going to do with the rest of our life? Is this the way we're going to live the rest of our life? And Bob said, no, it isn't. We're going to get back in church. And they came that Sunday morning and they got their life right with the Lord. And I listened to them pray. And I mean, the tears were falling there at the altar. And they both asked God's forgiveness of what had happened and blaming God for taking their son and all the things that they did. And you know what? They meant it. When you ask God's forgiveness, you're willing to repent. You're willing to get up and walk the other direction. And Bob and Joanne, as far as I know today, are still living for the Lord, involved in a bearing precious seed ministry, getting the word of God out to people. Oh, listen, don't wait to ask God to forgive you of your sin. If you sinned this morning, then you should have asked His forgiveness before you got here to church. Now let me mention these things. I'm running out of time. We need to accept corrections and criticisms and put downs with the right attitude. Proverbs 5:11 says, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Oh, listen. If somebody's trying to correct you, or somebody is criticizing you, and let me promise you, if you're a preacher, you're going to get criticized. You may have meant it well, but people can turn good around and make it look like bad, like you're doing it for the wrong reason. You may be put down for the kind of a life you're living. But listen, accept it. When somebody criticizes you, somebody said you need to correct your life, you need to listen to them and not get mad. Say things you shouldn't say, but number one, I ask myself, is it really true what they're saying about me? And if it's really true what they're saying about me, then I need to admit to them, you know you're right. I am wrong. But if they're wrong, you need to let it go in one ear and out the other ear and listen to them. Pray with them. You know, boy, when somebody's trying to correct you and you're being criticized, you're being put down, it's hard to take. We used to have an ex-policeman in our church, and he was a motorcycle policeman, and I was in my 50s then, and he was in his 60s. Oh, he could get mad at me. He'd come in my office and get within about a foot of my face, and he came in mad, and I mean he would belch the words out, and my old flesh wanted to grab him, just slam him down. I wanted to pull his Adam's apple out, see how far I could stretch it. That's what my flesh was thinking. I asked, oh God, help me to listen to him. Help me to listen to what he's saying. And he'd get done and I'd find out, you know, it wasn't me he should be mad at. And then he'd calm down and he'd say, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to do it." He just did it time and time again. But oh, I forgave him each time right on the spot. And I say, boy, he'll never do that again. I mean, he did it till almost the day he died. He was just that type of man. He never got himself corrected right. But oh, listen, you're going to be criticized in your lifetime for doing things for the Lord, and you meant it right, and people take it wrong. Even trying to correct them, they're not going to accept it right. But oh, still love them. You and I, when we holler and scream at people and all that, and I've been told the only time you should ever holler is if there's a fire. But oh, I've hollered at people times when I shouldn't have hollered at them. But oh, this thing of humility. Accept corrections and criticism and put down with the right attitude. And then, let me say this, Hebrews 9:27.
We hope you were encouraged from today's message. Our prayers are that through the preaching today, you might grow closer in your walk with Jesus. Remember to contact us. We value your feedback. The email address again is william58kuiper@yahoo.com. That's William Kuiper, KUIPER@yahoo.com. Or you can write us at Evergreen Bible Baptist Church, 1972 Saunders Road. That's Saunders, SAUNDERS. Saunders Road, Kalkaska, Michigan, 49646. Kalkaska is spelled KALKASKA. We invite you to join us next week at the same time. This is the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church broadcast.